reste-t-il de nos amours? Que reste-t-il de ces beaux jours? Une photo, vieille photo de ma jeunesse.
La Peste by Albert Camus, dramatized for radio by Guy Meredith, with Ronald Pickup as Dr. Rieu, John Shrapnel as Tarou, Clive Merrison as Rambert, Maurice Denham as Grand, Brian Glover as Cottard, and Alfred Burke as Father Panalou.
Rêve mouvant, que reste-t-il de tout cela? Dites-le-moi.
In here.
Oh, thank you, nurse.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I saw the desk light on.
Oh. What time is it?
5 to 12, Doctor. The night staff are all in.
Admissions?
23 since 8 o'clock.
Thank you. I was dreaming. A great scythe flailing over the town, whistling through the air.
Well, the telephone receiver.
Oh, yes, I must have knocked it off. Well, what are you doing here, Grand, at this hour?
Well, the weekly statistics are due to be announced tomorrow, but I thought you'd like to cast an eye over them.
My God, past 1,000.
Yeah.
So far, it's simply been flexing its muscles. Analysis by area, by age group. Have you worked all evening on these?
Well, it's the least I can do. We have the plague here. We have to defend ourselves against it. If only everything were that simple.
Ah, your novel.
Hmm. Can you envisage, Doctor, whole evenings, weeks at a time, spent on a single word, a noun, a verb, sometimes even a conjunction? Now, I grant you, when it comes down to it, it's not too tricky to choose between and or but. But what about and or then? And if I say then or next? No, the most difficult of all, and or just a simple comma. Mm. You begin to see the difficulties.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Mm. Now, change black to sorrel. You see, a fine sorrel mare. Ah. And now, cantering down the flowery paths of the Bois de Boulogne. You know the improvement.
Ah.
Yeah, of course, it still needs work. Now, it won't be correct until it represents exactly the image I have in mind, the rhythm of the hooves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Until that one sentence, those few phrases, produce a picture so clear that the publisher, without venturing further into the manuscript, will turn to his colleagues and say, hats off, gentlemen, hats off. You'll see what I'll do when all this plain nonsense is over.
Hello, we're here.
Well, Doctor. Doctor.
Monsieur Tahu. Do you realize that the work you envisage is far more likely than not to prove fatal?
So is standing by and watching.
No. I want you to understand that if you're to fill all the gaps in municipal services, it will even include transportation of corpses. Washing them first, burying them after. Have you considered that?
What did the prefect say, Doctor?
He accepts your proposal. Gratefully. And so do I.
Reply with a question.
You love to be mysterious, Tom.
Go on.
Do you believe in the idea of collective punishment?
I've spent too much time in sick wards for that.
Yet perhaps you feel that the plague has its positive side, that it opens men's eyes and forces them to think.
Like any illness you care to name, but when you see the misery and pain it brings, you have to be a madman or a coward to resign yourself to the plague.
You don't believe in God, Doctor?
No, but what does that signify? That I'm stumbling through the darkness rather than whistling in it? No, no.
But it's what separates you from someone like Panalu.
Oh, I don't think so. Panalu is a theologian. He talks of divine truth only because he hasn't seen enough of death. Any country priest with a fraction of his learning would think, as I do, to doubt the justice of suffering. You have only to sit at the bedside of the dying.
Then why do you show such devotion if you don't believe in God?
If I believed in an all-powerful God, why would I treat the sick? I'd leave them to his care. My job consists in this, to struggle against an imperfect creation. You think that sounds self-righteous? I don't know. I only know that at this moment we are surrounded by sick men and women who need to be healed. After all, since the order of the world is shaped by death, perhaps it's better for God that we don't believe in him. But we struggle with all our might against death rather than gaze up to heaven, waiting for a sign that never comes.
Yes, but your victories can only ever be provisional.
Now, that's no reason for ceasing to struggle.
No, no, you're absolutely right. But then, for you, the plague can only mean one thing. An interminable defeat.
Tal, now tell me, why are you getting mixed up in all this?
I don't know. My moral code, perhaps?
And that is?
Comprehension.
There's nobody inside. Evacuate the neighbors.
We can't control it.
Now move back. Move back.
Let it burn. Look out!
Now, it seems that these incidents of incendiarism are mainly perpetrated by the owners themselves coming out of quarantine, having lost a husband or a wife, and in some way wishing to destroy what has been tainted.
Well, I think we'd all agree that the brigades ought to be congratulated on their heroism in dealing with the fire.
I don't think heroism is the word. Those who join are simply doing what has to be done, like a schoolmaster teaching that 2 and 2 make 4, although he knows there'll come a time, a moment in history, when to stand up and make that claim will be punishable by death. No, not heroism. But goodness of heart and a dedication to the ideal of happiness.
I see, yes. Well, let's hope that this spate of arson will pass as suddenly as it has arisen. There have also been instances of looting, Monsieur Hotton.
These have been dealt with as severely as possible. While under a state of emergency, this would normally mean the death penalty, there is a certain pointlessness in a handful of extra deaths among so many. The sentences have therefore been reduced to 30 years hard labour.
Monsieur Hotton? Dr. Richard, your medical report.
The plague last week claimed 1,235 victims. Its total has now passed 10,000. But it seems that the epidemic is spreading, not just in numbers, but also both geographically and in form. In the first case, the centre of town, previously relatively free of infection, has now seen, possibly due to the September wind, a large jump in the number of cases. In the second, it seems that the virus is now mutating. Mm-hmm. In the last fortnight, a number of cases of a pulmonary form of the disease have been reported. This pneumonic plague is, by all accounts, both rarer and more contagious than the bubonic type. Dr. Castell, you're more experienced than any of us.
And I can confirm that what you say of pneumonic plague is true.
But your serum, Dr. Castell, can't you at least give us a progress report?
There is progress.
Ah, but when can it be tested?
When it is ready. It is not yet ready.
What do you want?
I'm looking for a Monsieur Cotard.
This is a bar, not a missing persons bureau. Either order a drink or get out.
I was told I might find him here.
And who told you that?
Your Cotard.
Not me, pal. All right, hold him. Let's have a look. Hey, what happened? Did the police department run out of guns?
His wallet.
Oh, Raymond Rambert. Staff reporter, a journalist?
Oh, that's a talkative profession.
No, it's okay. Let him go. Hey, no hard feelings there, Monsieur Rombert. I have to be careful. Let me buy you a drink. Two brandies and one for yourself. Now, where did you get my name from?
A waiter. Town centre. Said you're in touch with certain organisations.
What are you after? Alcohol? Cigarettes?
I'm not interested in the black market. I'm looking to escape.
From Iran? You're crazy.
I'm willing to pay the going rate.
The going rate is a bullet between the shoulder blades from one of the sentry posts.
I have 10,000 francs in cash.
You should be careful walking round the waterfront.
Okay, forget it. I was clearly given the wrong name, that's all.
Wait a minute. Temper, temper, Monsieur Rombert. Listen. You know the cathedral? Of course you do. Meet me inside day after tomorrow, 8 o'clock.
That's Brigade A, 140 members, full complement. Brigade B, 123 members, up from September, total of... fine, Sorrelmare. Not descriptive enough. A plump Sorrelmare. No, it's too perjurative. A glossy Sorrelmare. September total of 42. Recruitment proceeding at the rate of...
Monsieur Grand, why don't you go home? It's late.
Oh, no, just a few more statistics to compile. I may be too old to join the voluntary brigades, but I can help you here.
You wear yourself down between your town hall work, your writing, now this.
Well, we must all do our bit. I'll manage. I wanted to ask you something, Doctor. The photograph on your desk.
My wife.
She's very beautiful.
Yes, she is. She was caught outside the town.
Oh, and she was lucky.
Yes, I suppose she was. For once.
I was married, too.
Oh?
Before I was 20. A young girl from the same neighbourhood, from a family like mine. Oh, it was so awkward. Her parents laughed at me, but we were in love. One day, shortly before Christmas, we were standing on the street gazing into a store window. Nativity scene, tinsel, carols. She was enchanted. I proposed to her.
Is she dead?
No. After we married, it was the usual story. You know? You work, you try to build a home, you work so hard, you forget to love. Poverty, exhaustion, evenings around the table with nothing to say. Of course, in the end she left, across to France. Not on her own.
Do you hear from her?
Oh, she sent a note. I'm not happy. But you don't need happiness to start again. You know, I wonder sometimes now if she reads the paper and thinks about me.
And you've never written back?
If only I could, Doctor. If only I could.
Ah, Monsieur Grand. Can you find me 20 volunteers free for isolation work tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
Good. And, have you considered sleek?
Sleek? Sleek? One fine morning in the month of May, an elegant lady on a sleek sorrel mare was cantering down the flowery paths of the Bois de Boulogne. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, hats off. You'll see. A good long holiday after all this, and I'll have it finished.
It's 8:45. I thought you weren't coming.
Another infection scare. They've sealed off the waterfront. I didn't have an exit permit. I had to bribe my way out.
And you haven't arranged anything?
patience, Monsieur Rombert. Here.
Marcel and Luis Gonzalez.
Their address is on the other side.
Who are they?
Guards. They're stationing one of the posts by the west gate. You climb over, they turn their backs. As simple as that. Are you fit?
I used to play football in Paris. Why?
There are neighboring posts.
When do I go?
Ah, now, patience again. They're not on sentry duty till next week. Then there are two other soldiers in the post who'll have to be persuaded to take the night off before it's safe for you to leave. Saturday night's normally best.
You mean another 10 days?
Think of it as a football match, Monsieur Rombert. You can't always head straight for goal.
When do I pay you?
You don't have the money here?
No.
For God's sake, you'd have been safe in a cathedral. Still, I trust you. Remember that. Meet me Sunday, midday, by the war memorial.
It is with the greatest sorrow and regret that we have to announce the passing, earlier today, of the Prefect of Arran. He became the 20,541st victim of the plague. His funeral cortege will pass through the city on Sunday morning, starting from the town hall and making its way through central and outlying districts before returning for a midday ceremony at the war memorial.
Couldn't ask for better cover, eh?
Aren't you going to count it?
I already said I trust you.
I didn't realize you two knew each other.
Monsieur Rombert and I live in the same hotel.
Lived?
Yes, that's true. With the manager dead, it's being turned into a quarantine center. Dr. Rieu is kindly putting me up. What about you?
I have my plans.
Look at all this. For a guy who had every chance in life, and what does he know about it now? That's what I love about the plague. It's a great leveler.
It's not quite true. The poor don't get this pomp. They're carted out in reusable coffins to mass graves outside the wall.
Really? I didn't know that.
You'd have no way of finding out. Well, they're loaded into special trams at the mortuary, after the curfew. The trams run to the cemetery, a separate pit for men and women, but the same quicklime for both.
That's grotesque.
But it's efficient. How else do you want to bury 1,500 people a week?
He's got a point. Anyhow, the poor are mugs.
See you.
I'll be going as well.
So, you've found a way out, huh?
What?
I'm pleased.
You don't mean that.
Rombert, I'm too tired to lie.
The epidemic's growing too quickly for you?
It's growing at the same rate. Perhaps even slightly slower. We're simply running out of resources to fight it.
In any other army, lack of resources can be made up by manpower. We lack manpower, too.
But doctors and health workers have arrived from outside.
10 doctors, 100 assistants. Well, that sounds a lot. This week they can stop the plague from spreading. Next week, they'll be sunk without trace.
You must go as soon as possible, Rombert.
It's not fear that's driving me out. I want you to understand that. I don't think I'm a coward, and I've had the opportunity before now to prove it. But there are some possibilities I just can't face.
You'll see her again.
I felt a dull ache in my armpits. I was sure my thighs were swelling. I ran to the top end of the town, the highest point I could find, and I shouted her name to the sky. Then I came back here and found no signs of infection on my body at all. It was in my head.
When was this?
A few weeks back. After that, I knew I couldn't stay.
Dogs.
Or escapees. To tomorrow night.
Sorry I'm late. I've come from speaking to Father Panelou, and I persuaded him to join us.
I'm glad he's more humane than his sermons.
So you've invited us to celebrate your departure?
Who else do I know?
Well, good luck. It's a shame, though. You could have been useful here.
To whom?
How?
The new quarantine centers we're setting up. One here at the hotel, another in the football stadium. They'll need administering.
I've thought about your brigades, Taru. Mm-hmm. And I've risked my life before. I fought in Spain on the losing side. I learned that any fool can be a dead hero. No, I'm not denying the existence of courage. I know that man is capable of grand gestures. But if he's not capable of great emotions, it doesn't interest me.
I had the impression he was capable of anything.
No. Not of prolonged suffering or prolonged happiness. Could you die for love?
I don't know. Perhaps once. Not now.
Yet you could die for a cause. That's written all over you. Well, I've had enough of people who let themselves be killed for an idea.
Man isn't an idea, Rambert.
He is, if he turns his back on love. And a pretty lousy idea at that.
Rambert, you're doing the right thing by going. For all the world, I wouldn't try and stop you, but don't think we're playing at heroes here. I'm just trying to be honest. Oh, it may sound laughable, but I believe the only weapon for fighting the plague is honesty.
What do you mean by honesty?
In my case, doing my job.
Yeah, but you're a doctor. What's my vocation? Well, maybe I'm wrong in thinking it's loving somebody.
No, you're right.
Anyway, duty's easier for both of you. You've nobody waiting for you outside.
I have to get back to the hospital.
Good luck again, Rambert.
So, you leave tomorrow?
At midnight.
Well, good luck as well. Oh, by the way, there's something you should know. Ria has a wife, and she's in a sanatorium up in the mountains. And in all likelihood, she doesn't have long to live.
Give me a mask, please.
Who then?
A mask.
Pneumonic?
It accounts for more than half the cases coming in now.
Will he survive?
No. He'll continue coughing up blood until he brings up the matter on his lungs.
And then?
And then.
God.
Well, it's a quicker death than bubonic, though at the same time there's a slightly higher survival rate.
Dr. Weir, Saturday's figures.
Ah, how many?
16 up to midnight. Same as Friday. What are you doing here?
Rambert!
This grey light. You both look so worn.
Surely you should have left half an hour ago.
In theory.
It was postponed?
No.
Then...
The ache, the pain of separation, of desire. You become accustomed to it. It grows less. That's when you know you may already have lost your only chance of happiness.
Then go, now, before it's too late.
I'm ashamed, Ria. I have the choice in front of me, but I can't elect to leave if everyone else is staying. You told me before, the play concerns us all.
Did I? I don't remember, Rambert, but... Nothing is worth turning your back on someone you love.
Then why have you done it?
Yes. Why? I wish I knew. Stay if you must. I'm sure Taru has a job for you, but you'll have to face the consequences that your whole life, or your death, will be the plague.
As the new prefect of Iran, let me say clearly what we already know, that the onset of cooler weather has so far done nothing to halt the spread of infection. The graph has indeed leveled off, but the plague now seems intent on picking off its daily allowance of victims efficiently and punctiliously. Since we are now too few to justify the use of this hall for meetings, it will from next week be converted to a plague ward. Has anyone anything to say?
Dr. Richard.
Yes, Dr. Castell.
My serum is now ready for testing.
November the 1st, All Souls Day, the day of remembering the dead. A day when the trams should be filled with the scent of chrysanthemums.
and the melancholy chatter of families off to decorate the graves of their loved ones. But not this year. This year the cemeteries are out of bounds, and the dead are what everyone wants to forget.
Philippe? Philippe, can you hear me?
Well, Doctor, is it or isn't it?
It is, Monsieur Autant.
I see. Then we must follow the regulations. I presume I shall have to be quarantined.
I'll phone Rambert. He's in charge of one of the camps. He'll drive you out.
No, I'll go by ambulance like everybody else. I don't require special treatment.
I should tell you, he has very little chance.
I understand.
But with your permission, I'd like to remove him to Dr. Castell's. We have a new serum to try.
Do whatever you have to, Doctor. But please, if you can, save my son.
As Cottard says, in Oran, every day is the day of the dead. Yet it seems that now, finally, there is hope of life.
How is it?
No fight, no resistance. Barely audible. Irregular.
Is your patient?
Yeah. 3 milliliters?
For a child, yes.
Then prepare it, please.
It will take time. Try and sleep.
And you?
No, I prefer not to. I'll wake you if there's any change, or else at first light. Struggling. His name again?
Philippe.
Philippe. Philippe. Don't give up.
I'm on my way to the camp. Any news for the father?
No.
Then I'll stay a while.
Castell, when can you give him another shot?
Not before 8.
I'll fetch you a chair, Father.
Oh, please, no.
No morning remission.
No.
But he's fighting. Harder than I've seen anyone.
And if he's to die, he will have suffered longer. But in this process, in Chiles, and to be chetum in the tomb, and venia dream in the tomb, yet voluntas tuas, sigus in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odies, and de nobis da vita nostra, sicut, da nos dimitimus da vecioribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentation, se libera nos
amare. I'm sorry, I can't bear any more.
He's opening his eyes.
Tibi Domine, commendamus animum famulo tui, Philippe.
Will you have to start all over again?
Defunctus seculo
tibi vivat. Perhaps not.
Quae per fragilitatum.
He held out for a long time.
Commissit. Tu venia misericordissima, pietatis abstergi. E Christum Dominum nostrum. Amen. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
Doctor, yes?
Priest. That child was innocent. What had he deserved?
Even the birds migrate over the town. There's a horror here that no living thing can approach. It's beyond our capacities.
But perhaps we have to love even that which we cannot understand.
No, Father. Not me. I have a different conception of love. Nothing till I die will force me to love the world where children are tortured. Not the world, not its maker, Panalu.
And yet we both work to the same end, for the good of mankind.
The good? No, I work for the health. I go no further than that. A straight hatred of death and disease. Oh, forgive me. I shouldn't have been angry with you. There are simply times in this town when I have no feelings beyond revulsion.
No, I understand.
We suffer together, and we fight together. Perhaps, after all, we can be friends.
No, a priest can have no friends. He's given himself entirely to God. But come to church on Sunday. I have something to say. I'd like you to hear it.
Spiritus Sancte Deus. Miserere. Sancta Trinitas Unus Deus.
Miserere.
Sancta Maria.
Ora pro nobis.
My brothers, how can we believe in God? A God who plans a hideous death of tens of thousands? A God, above all, who tortures and kills innocent children? Is each child who dies rewarded for a few hours of suffering by an eternity of delight? That would be convenient, would it not? But is it true? I can only tell you that we have no way of knowing. No. If we are really to believe in God, we must look at the death of a child and we must find a reason for that cruelty. The plague has been with us now for 7 long months. I think at last I have found the reason. God, my brothers, is putting us all to the test. He is saying the time for easy everyday faith is over. For a faith untested has no merit. God is saying that when a child dies amongst pools of sweat and blood, you must wish it because I have wished it. Because I have put this test of faith before you. The time has come to believe all or to deny all. And who amongst us would dare to deny all? The death of a child, my brothers, is bitter bread to eat. But without that bread, our souls will starve. Pater noster, quies in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie. Dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sit libera, sit libera nos a malo. Amen.
A priest may not consult a doctor. If he does, he contradicts his belief. And so Panalu died. Probably of plague. Certainly unattended. Alone, but still rigorous in his faith. Yet his example fails, on the whole, to inspire those surviving citizens. They now have greater faith in superstitions and protective medallions than in mass. Some newspapers run columns interpreting the prophecies of Nostradamus and St. Odile. Others find it more convenient to invent their own auguries of an end to the epidemic. All are reassuring. Only the plague is not. The lingering warmth of autumn has given way abruptly to the cold north winds of December.
No, no, wait. Let me help you.
I can manage.
Certainly not.
You'd never seem to run out of energy, Monsieur Dow.
Well,
if you hadn't been caught in Oran, what would we have done?
What would I have done? Moved on to another town, then another. Now, the only profession I have is the one I found here, giving people a chance. Oh, have you got some paper for kindling?
You're quite domesticated.
Well, that's from years of looking after myself.
Your parents?
Mother was very like you. Calm, kind, certainty of right and wrong.
Is she dead?
In a way. Well, that is, yes, she died 8 years ago, and I saw her only rarely before that. But when I did, there was always such a tranquility about her. I can't help but feel she's still there, just out of sight.
And your father?
My father was a judge. In fact, he was a chief justice. I respected him. I even liked him. If he didn't live like a saint, he was no worse than others, and he was kind to his family. That's what mattered.
Mother, can I...
When I was young, I lived with the idea of my innocence. Well, I had no reason to suspect otherwise. I was intelligent. I was successful with girls. What more could one ask? And when I was 17, the time came for me to choose a career. My father, of course, wanted me to go in for the law, so he asked me one day to come and watch a case. It was an important trial, and I'd no doubt he hoped I'd be impressed by the robes and the finery and the formalities. And to tell the truth, I was curious to see him in his professional role, to see what he was like away from home. Well, I can only remember one thing about that trial, and that was the defendant. Perhaps I should say the guilty man, because he was found guilty, and in a sense, I've no doubt he was. Short, ugly, a nervous tick in one eye, and the look of a scared owl, scared to death. And from that day on, I couldn't rid myself of the image of a human being and the death sentence. Oh, my father at home was the same kindly man, but now I knew. Those days when he set the alarm early and rose before dawn. Where he went. I left home. I had no money. I worked at whatever came along. And at whatever came along, I did well. But I never forgot that scared owl in the dock. And what happened to him in the name of society. And little by little, my resolve strengthened, and I became what I think you'd call an activist. Well, from there, life became hectic. I travelled through Europe, always found myself amongst friends. In each country, I took part in the struggle. The struggle on behalf of the oppressed. The struggle to overthrow the judges, the finery, the formalities, and the death sentence. Well, I know what you're going to say, and of course you're right. We killed people ourselves. Of course we did. But I was told that these deaths were necessary, that if we killed the killers, it was a prelude to peace. And, well, I almost believed it. I almost convinced myself. Until the day I saw it firsthand, point blank. A firing squad. Do you know how these things work? Of course you don't. You imagine it like in the films, a flag blindfold soldiers across the courtyard, No. The soldiers are two steps away. And when they fire, the bullets tear a hole in the flesh you could put your fist through. I had the plague long before I came here. I was a murderer, a plague bearer, no less than the judges in their red robes, and no less than the society in whose name they killed. In this world, the slightest movement risks someone's death. We all have that microbe within us.
A moment's distraction, and we have turned, and we breathed into someone's face, and we've infected them. We're either on the side of the plague, Rhea, or we're on the side of the victims. And it's only on the side of the victims that we can find peace.
What about doctors?
Yeah, yes, true healers are a third category. But they are few, Rhea. I've never heard the sea from here before.
An onshore wind. Winter's coming.
Do you know what we should do for the sake of friendship? We should go for a swim.
Yeah. What?
We both have passes. They'll let us onto the quay.
The water will be freezing.
All the more cleansing.
Same sea. Same ebb and flow. Same moonlit reflections, washing the whole coast, the whole country, a dozen other countries, all free, all without fear.
We must remember normal life, Rhea. We know we're fighting against the plague, but what's the point unless we keep in mind what we're fighting for? Come on.
Forgets no one for long. Here in Oran, it's Christmas Eve. Yet it's clear that the festival has more to do with hell this year than with heaven. The church is for funeral masses, while the celebrations, the gifts, the feasts are priced now only for the rich, to be indulged shamefully behind locked doors. All that is left to the poor is to gaze longingly at the store windows.
It's gone on too long. 20 years alone.
Monsieur Grand. Monsieur Grand, where have you been? You missed two voluntary shifts.
I've been searching all over town for you. Are you all right?
Doctor.
What is it?
How can we carry on without love?
For you. He's sweating, his skin's burning.
Let me go. I'm an old man. I wanted to write to her before the end so that she could be happy with her regrets. Now,
let's get him to hospital.
No, he's home. Nearer. Come on. Into bed.
I'll try and get a fire going. God knows what with.
And try the cupboards first. Spare blankets.
He owns nothing. Nothing. Is that Castel serum?
Yes, it's all we have left. Now, just a shot, Grand. That's all.
He's so anonymous. The plague could have passed him by without noticing.
Didn't pass a run.
Doctor, it's in the drawer. Read it to me.
What, Grand?
Does he mean this?
My manuscript.
Fine May morning. Slim, graceful horsewoman, glossy black steed. The same sentence, more or less, over 50 pages.
Last one.
My dear Jean, today is Christmas Day. And then that stops.
Here. It was one fine morning in the month of May,
and a svelte young lady on a proud black mare was loping along the flower-strewn byways of the Bois de Boulogne.
Is that it?
That's it, Grand. Hats off!
No, it's not right.
Huh?
Burn it.
41 degrees.
Shall I fetch an ambulance?
No. Better not move him. He hasn't a chance anyway. He never had one in his life.
What should we do with this?
As he said.
Oh, don't worry, Doctor. I can remember every word.
I have to admit, I didn't expect you to survive.
But I had to, you see. It wasn't yet perfect. And I've made a momentous decision. I'm going to take out all the adjectives.
What? What? Oh.
And so, thanks to this treatment, the number of successes is growing steadily, while the actual cases of plague are diminishing. Gentlemen, I feel at last we can tentatively congratulate ourselves.
What have we done?
Simply carried on.
Such a sudden, unforeseen drop. In January,
the number of plague victims was 524. Almost 30% less than the previous week. The improvement is such that the authorities are considering a less stringent approach to the release of food stocks. Victory is in sight.
No food, only drinks. No alcoholic drinks, only beverages. No milk, no sugar.
Two black coffees.
All right, I'm pleased to hear about Grand. He saved my life once. But it can't finish like that, can it? Without warning.
Well, no one's talking of it yet. The graph's dipping, that's all. We're not treating the cases any differently. The plague itself seems to be losing its rhythm.
But it could get back into its stride any day.
Yes, it could, or it could simply peter out. You're not looking forward to a return to normal life.
Depends what you mean by normal life.
Well, new records on the radio?
No, the town couldn't start over again the same as before. Something must have changed.
The plague's bound to leave traces, at least emotionally.
Emotionally? What do I care about emotionally? Why wasn't it an earthquake? All the files buried, once and for all.
Two black coffees.
Thank you. What did the police want you for before all this started? Before you tried to hang yourself?
Who told you that?
Was it murder?
No, it wasn't murder. Armed robbery. 20 years, minimum. They cut me out. Didn't even get my share. And the law was on to me. I moved a couple of times, but I knew they'd find me in the end. I can't face a stretch like that.
Well, you're all right as long as the plague lasts. In the crisp air beneath even blue skies, the town sits at first sight unchanged. Only a closer look reveals the occasional smile on faces in the street and prompts the observation that until now there's been nothing to smile about in public. There is a small tear in the veil that hangs over the town. A tear that grows larger with each week's drop in deaths. A victory? Perhaps the plague has accomplished its mission and is simply stealing away as furtively as it came.
The gates will remain closed for a further 2 weeks. However, if during the fortnight there is no recrudescence of the plague, emergency measures will be rescinded and the city gates reopened on Saturday, the 25th of February.
Everything's starting afresh, Rhea.
He got up this morning, but without the strength to go on his rounds, I sent him back to bed.
It may not be serious. How do you feel?
Headache, feverish, the usual symptoms.
No. Nothing specific enough for that.
Shall I pour you more water?
Oh, yes, please do. You should isolate me.
Tahu, there is no reason to suspect you're suffering from plague.
Don't hide anything from me. I need to know the truth.
You will, Tahu, I promise.
It's Castel serum. So it is that.
Just a precaution.
You never inject serum without ordering isolation.
We'll look after you here, my mother and I. Now try and sleep.
Just one thing, Rhea. I don't want to die, and I shall fight. But if I'm going to lose, I want to make a good end of it.
Night will be the worst, you already know. And we'll keep you warm. Sweat as much as you can.
Oh, my God.
Never seen it before here in Iran. Ever. You've been sleeping, Tao.
The sun's up.
And snow has fallen. The whole city so still, so clean. Deep white wherever you look.
Are you breathing more easily?
Yes. Yes, I am a little. Does that mean anything?
No. No, it could be the morning remission.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. Always the truth.
So fresh. Can you see, Monsieur Tarou?
The sun will melt it. The past will be washed away. The town will be cleansed. The plague is finished.
What is it, Tarou?
I'm losing.
No. No, please.
Doctor. Perhaps I'll find peace. Who can say?
This is the boat train from Paris, isn't it? Claire. Claire! Claire.
Raymond!
Claire! I didn't know whether you were coming.
Oh, Raymond, are you well? Are you all right?
I can't.
9 months without knowing how you were, seeing you. I can't believe. I love you so much.
Where?
I phoned. I knew you'd want to come back from the hospital straight away.
Where is it?
Here. It must be from the sanatorium, mustn't it? A telegram. I'll leave you to read it.
No. Stay. Doctor here, with greatest regret, have to inform your wife died 3:15 a.m. today. Await further instructions.
Perna, here, sit down.
No. I'll walk. Out in the city.
Awake last night, I could only think how much I loved you. And that today would be the last time I see you for a month. Or else the last time I see you.
When you come back, it'll be different. I promise. We'll start again.
I'll think of you here working, and I'll work with all my energy to be healthy again.
Look after yourself. Please look after yourself. Only a month. I love you.
Where are you going?
I'm going nowhere.
Not through here. You're not some madman's got a gun up there.
Huh? Where?
That window. Keep your head down. The bastard's shooting at everything that moves.
Doctor. Come on. No, it's Cotter. Have you come to help?
Oh, I didn't realize where I was.
No, I was writing to Jean. I finally finished the letter. Now, I heard two policemen lock to interview him.
This is your last warning. Either you give yourself up or we come in for you. Have it your own way.
Only words now. So simple to say it. We've had the plague here in Oran. Fireworks, speeches, a monument, medals. Experience. Memories. And in time, even the memories will fade. All the men, the women, loved and lost, dead or guilty, will be forgotten. Mankind, in its strength and its innocence, moves on. But I know now what one only learns in times of pestilence, that there is more in men to admire than to despise. That what we call evil is born of ignorance. And the most dangerous ignorance is that which calls itself wisdom. That beyond all grief, we are every one of us part of the same humanity. And perhaps I've learned above all that the plague never really departs. That the bacillus never really disappears, that it can wait for tens or hundreds of years, dormant in cupboards, in drawers, in bedrooms, in cellars, in trunks, amongst sheets or handkerchiefs or papers, and that perhaps one day, to the misfortune or enlightenment of men, the plague will wake its rats again and send them out to die and infect a contented city.
La Peste by Albert Camus was dramatized for radio by Guy Meredith. Dr. Rieu was played by Ronald Pickup, Tarou by John Shrapnel, Rambert by Clive Merrison, and Grand by Maurice Denham. Cotard was played by Brian Glover, Father Panalou by Alfred Burke, Dr. Richard, Stuart Organ, Madame Rieu by Joan Matheson, Dr. Castell by John Bott, and the Prefect, David Garth. Marie-Hélène was played by Susie Brann, Monsieur Michel, Douglas Blackwell, Madame Michel, Sheila Grant, Claire, Natasha Pine, Monsieur Auton by John Church, and the radio announcer, George Parsons. Other parts were played by members of the cast with Brian Hewlett, Gerard Green, and Andrew Branch. Technical presentation by David Greenwood with Roger Daines and Anne Bunting. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.